right, we're on part V1. It's what it says up there. I can only go by what it say. Did Jesus treat people that way? This series could have been entitled something different. It could have been entitled, How Do You Let Your Light Shine? And as I get older, yeah, it happens to all of us. And I realize the importance of people seeing Jesus in me. Because I think that's the ultimate test. Is can somebody see some Jesus in you? Are they drawn to you? Based upon our actions when nobody's watching or when nobody we know is watching. There's a movie I like to watch, and in the movie there is an angel manifested as a person. And in the scene of the movie, he's working behind a register in a convenience store. And he purposefully gives back a lady too much change. She puts a dollar on the counter to pay for something, and then he counts out $10 change. 1, 2, 3, 5, 10. Thank you very much. To see whether or not she would take it. And of course, she couldn't get out of the store fast enough with her newfound gains. And the angel just shook his head. Are we like that? Because what you don't know is that somebody's watching you. And I learned that so early on in life. When I got job opportunities and calls because somebody was watching me that I didn't know was watching me. And I realized that you can't go anywhere or do anything without somebody seeing something. And we have to learn how to let our light shine, how to let our Jesus shine. By the way we treat not only the ones we love, but the ones we come in contact with. The people we don't know, the strangers. The ones that go out of their way to make our life miserable. Anybody got any of those, or is it just me? All right. Sometimes I'll sit and I'll say, do they not know they have their own life to live? They shouldn't be looking at me. What's looking at me getting them? Why don't they turn around and go about their way? I have nothing to offer them. But I've realized that the way I treat them determines what God has for me. And I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. So we're going to begin, if you've missed the first 5 sermons, they're on CD or on internet. You can find them, get them. Leviticus 19:18 is where we're going to begin. Do not seek revenge. Come on now. How come something that feels so right can be so wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you why it's so wrong. It feels good to get revenge. But the reason it's wrong is you don't want what you deserve. It would be okay for others to get what they deserve if you would accept what you deserve. And before you start to say, well, maybe I'll take what I deserve, well, let me tell you what you deserve. You deserve eternal separation from God, a life in hell. That's what you deserve. Our sin nature made that what we deserve. Is that what we want? No. But yet we want others to get what they have coming to them. In fact, a lot of times we'll even take our part in making sure they get what comes to them. There are nasty people in this world that do nasty things. And I had a family that revenge was their motto. I think they had R tattooed on their backs. And Pastor Marjorie was 8 months, 9 months pregnant. And she went into a store that had a little bit of problem with Spanish people. And they told her, you need to leave. We don't have anything for you here. She went home and my dad saw her crying. Because in case you're not aware, 8 or 9 month old pregnant women, very emotional. Can be very emotional. So what might not have bothered her 9 months ago was sure bothering her now. And my dad didn't say anything. But he came back to her 2 days later and he said, I need you to go back to that store. She said, I don't want to go back to that store. They're mean to me there. He said, no, you have to go back. But what my wife didn't understand was between then and now, this took place. Revenge. So when she went back to the store, we are so happy you're here. Take your time, look around. If you need help, just ask. And anything you want in the store, you can have for free. However much you want, whatever you want, it's all free. But it felt good. I'm not going to lie. It felt good. It felt like they got what they deserved. And they did. Only we didn't give any thought about what we deserve. Do I deserve the talent that's in these hands? People will say, you're a jack of all trades, and I'll look at them, I'll say, absolutely not. I'm a master of all trades, a jack of none. I take them all seriously. And there's not a trade I don't know when it comes to construction. Did I deserve that talent? No, not everybody got it. There's people that can't put a screw in a wall and hang a picture. I got a call from one of my favorite clients. He says, I won an award. I said, great, congratulations. He said, no, I didn't need you to come and hang it. And I'm thinking, this must be huge, right? And I'm like, okay, I'll come and hang your award. And he was an hour away from me. And he paid traveling time. And he was paying $75 an hour. I said, are you sure you want me to come and hang this award? He says, yes, I need you to come and hang my award. So I get down there and the award's this big. So I, you know, put a little anchor in the wall and a screw and hung the award. I said, okay, you good? But see, he didn't need to know how to do that because he had me. He had a different talent. Okay? God gave him a different talent, and that talent was so great that he could hire me to hang his award without questioning it. Could care less. But God has given you talents. And some of you don't know your talent yet. You're young, and you don't know what's inside of you. And you're not disciplined enough to bring the talent to the surface. Amen. Amen. I know somebody right now who should have done graduated and hasn't yet begun with the false hope that they'll be successful in school when they're not disciplined enough to make it, and they will not make it if they don't become disciplined. Because without discipline, see, we want it, but we don't want to pay the price. We want it if it's easy. Somebody went up to Arnold Palmer and asked him, said to him, he said, I'd love to hit a golf ball like you. He said, no, you would love to hit a golf ball like me if it were easy. But it ain't easy. You see, I get up in the morning and I hit like 10 buckets of golf balls. After breakfast, I hit 10 more buckets. Till my fingers are bleeding, and then I hit 10 more buckets. That's why I can hit a golf ball like that. We're not willing to put the work in. Our social life is too important. Our Facebook is too important. If you're going to school, you shouldn't have Facebook. It's a distraction, young people. You need to look at these books and you need to pay a price for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, because it'll set up the rest of your life. Amen. Stop thinking it's some kind of game. It's not a game. I got the talent because I was willing to sacrifice for it. I don't understand people today, what they feel is so important. For the first 5 years of my marriage, I sacrificed and Marjorie sacrificed, and we didn't even go to restaurants. Never. Because we understood the importance of getting over the hump. And it was more important to us to find success than it was to fill our desires at that time. And I'll tell you this, young people. Those desires you have, you will lose if you become disciplined. That desire you have to go to the club every week will disappear if you stop going. But keep going. That's the devil's bait. Why? So you don't succeed in school. So you fail at everything you test. Marisol, there's a CD. I don't even know how I got on this rabbit trail. Wasn't planned. It's just that I want young people to succeed so badly. I want everybody to succeed so badly. Why? I know what success feels like. They asked Arthur Williams, who built the largest sales force in America and became ultra wealthy. And they asked him the question. They said, now, if knowing what you know now, you paid a big price to become successful, would you pay that price to do it again? And he looked at him and he says, no. If I would have known what success was really like, I would have paid a much bigger price. Because there's no price you can pay that's worth success. Success is a beautiful thing. The talent that God has given you, you don't deserve, but He's given it to you anyway. Many don't know that their talent is an actual calling of God. A surgeon will cut you open. I had one cut my son open and take all of his organs out. So another surgeon could replace his disc in his back through the front rather than go into the back and destroy his back. I'm like, who can do that? That's disgusting. That's nasty. Somebody who's called by God to do that. He did it. Nurses like Connie or Pastor Linda, they've seen some stuff. Nasty stuff. How do they do that? They've seen blood and guts on a regular basis. How do they do that? God called them to do that. That's why you can't do that. God didn't call you to do that. I can't do that. We're going to go back to the scripture. We don't deserve the talent we have. We don't deserve the things that we have. We don't deserve the life that we have. And we so often waste the precious gifts that God gave us by arguing, fighting, carrying on, and destroying our light. And then we finally get our light right, and we don't understand why we can't win somebody over that saw you when your light wasn't bright. too late. You'll be very fortunate if you can ever make headway. You pray for God to send somebody who can. Because you've done showed them who you are. Mistakes are costly, people. Do not bear a grudge. I would love to tell you there were no grudges in this room, but I'd be lying to you. I could get out my pencil and write, this one has a grudge against this one, and that one has a grudge against this one. And you act as if I don't know. Seriously? I see everything from up here. I know. Why do I tolerate it? My faith is that if I teach enough, you'll start to get it. And you'll understand you're wasting your life. You understand you're bringing a curse on yourself. You'll start to understand you're not receiving what God has for you. I don't want to act like I have all the blessings. I have all the blessings. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I got this. I got that. You know why? Because I know God's unlimited and he has more for me if I will be what he wants me to be. Now, sometimes I find my blessings in different ways than I used to think. There was a time that I thought blessings were the material things. And they are, but they're also very immaterial. As the love of another person is a blessing. The friendship of another person is a blessing. When my children succeed, that's a blessing. When I watch somebody's life change, it's a blessing. I had an opportunity last week to spend 2 hours with somebody I've never spent a minute with before. And people that were around the situation were thanking me for what I did and thanking me for what they did. But the blessing was all mine because I got to see somebody get educated. I got to see somebody change their life in front of my eyes and go in a different direction. Because I spent 2 hours with them. What a blessing that was for me. My light was shining bright. And he wanted all of it he could get. It was amazing. Don't bear a grudge against anyone among your people. Who are your people? Look around. Take a 360 look because you're not looking in particular places. Surely he doesn't mean that one. Your grudges is all because you don't know how to talk to each other. You don't know how to go up and say, you know, I haven't been feeling right. I just want to apologize to you. I respect who you are and what you do. Keep your curse. Looks good on you. Then why are you keeping it? It doesn't look good on us. Then why are you keeping it? Let it go. It's not worth it. Why are you letting somebody take away from you what God has for you? Who is that person? How important are they to you that you're going to let them take what God has for you away from you? I don't understand that because I love you all, but Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what you got to pay attention to right here. I am the Lord. You know how important this scripture is when it's ended with, I am the Lord? I am telling you, this is what you got to do. I am telling you, this is not an option. It's not a choice. You're playing. It's not a game. Jesus never took revenge or held a grudge against the people that persecuted him, beat him, crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What did he say to the thief on the cross? Today, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, you're going to pay for what you did that put you on that cross. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you're going to get what you deserve. You're going to get what you should get. He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. I believe we're going to Matthew next. I've been preaching this scripture for 13 years. It only scared me when I understood the consequences of it. Until then, I was fine with it. It was just another scripture I could blow over. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So I have to forgive you for God to forgive me. Is that what it's saying?
Yes, sir.
But what if I don't? But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And so the consequences scared me because I begin to realize if God does not forgive my sins, I will not go to heaven. I got so many Christians with unforgiveness in their hearts thinking they're going to walk into heaven and God hasn't forgiven none of their sins. Wow. Does that not scare you? When the Bible says there's a narrow road and few find it, that's why few find it. Nobody under my teaching will ever think they're walking into heaven with unforgiveness in their hearts, because I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. So make it go away. Whatever you got to do, make it go. I think of the death certificate. And there's a signature at the bottom. What if there was a certificate to go to hell? Could be, I don't know. Might not be. But what if there was? There's a spiritual certificate. Who's signing at the bottom? Who did you not forgive that's signing your certificate to send you to hell? Somebody's got their pen out ready to go. This ain't a choice. This ain't an option. This will keep you from heaven. And ain't nobody worth your eternal life. Heaven is not a place where sin can abide or enter into. So if it's in your heart, unforgiveness is a sin. If it's in your heart, it's in your spirit. I'll be preaching on this for another 13 years till you get it. Philippians 2, 1 through 9. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, in other words, are you getting anything from this? You should be. I know I'm much more at peace because I can feel the love of God. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded. If you're getting anything from your journey of faith, if you're getting anything from your Christianity, then be like-minded with your brothers and sisters. This is what's wrong with Christianity today. We are not like-minded. Same type of thinking, same aspiration, same desire to be the light of the world. If you want to be the light of the world, then you're thinking like I'm thinking. If you want to serve Christ, you're thinking like I'm thinking. We're like-minded. If you want to be kind and compassionate to other people, then you and I are like-minded. If you do not want to be argumentative and you do not want to fight, then we're like-minded. I can promise you this, I will not get into a fight until I have to. If I can walk away, I'm walking away. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That's our problem. We don't value other people. We devalue them. Because they don't think like us. Why is this one of the biggest problems in Christianity? Because churches can't come together because of this. And we've lost our ability to be strong in this world. Because we're a bunch of cell groups who don't know how to act with each other. There's no organization. There's no love. Churches are so concerned that your grass might be looking a little bit different than their grass, and they got to hold on to their people. The dumbest thinking in the world. Let each person be where their soul will prosper. Can't you just live with that? I had a pastor one time. He called me up. He said, I'm sending my son to you. I can't do nothing with him. And he sent his son over here, and his son stayed here for a year. That's wisdom. He's not getting what he needs to get from here, so let him go over here and get what he needs. We got to work together. We don't have that in Lake Placid. Churches do not work together. Each church is against the other church. We showed one pastor the youth center as it was being built. Instead of him being excited about it or happy for the community, he looked at the person showing him the youth center and he said, "Yeah, it'll be okay if he can pull it off." I ain't trying to pull nothing off. I got God. God's going to pull it off. I think he did. Has that church ever been there? No. I'm so thankful we've got this group of 4 or 5 kids that come every time and they come from another church. That's beautiful. I don't sit there every week and say, "You know, you can come to our church. It'll be a better church for you." I don't want to take them from their home church. Let them be where they are. The youth center is for the kingdom of God, not Working Faith Ministries. We start thinking in church life that we're the only ones who know the truth. They don't understand that. There are many, many, many churches that know the truth. We're not the only ones. We just do it our way. Church next door does it the way God told them to do it. We do it the way God told us to do it. We're both good. I don't got to be like them. They ain't got to be like me. I have no hatred to them. I have nothing but love for them. I'm thankful for the church on every corner, because without the church on every corner, there'd be no morality in this world. It wouldn't be safe to leave your house. Like back in the days of Noah. Pray for the churches. Don't attack them. Somebody told me the other day, this person hates the Catholics. Why? Why do they hate the Catholics? Well, somebody did this to them. It wasn't the Catholics. It was that person who did that to them. Why are they hating everybody? Because of what one person do. But you have to understand, that's the mentality of the world. When you act a fool, we all get blamed for it. I have to monitor what my pastors do. What they post on Facebook. Some of them can give you some testimonies of what can happen to them when they post something ungodly on Facebook. It doesn't work well for them, because I tell them, you represent God, then you represent Working Faith Ministries, then you represent me, and I get blamed for what you write. You give me a bad name because you don't have any discipline. The early years could be rough at times, because they had to learn these things. And it's true. You go out there and act a fool, and you bring a bad name to the church. Don't be like Charles Barkley. "I ain't no role model." Yes, you is. You got thousands of kids looking up to you. You a role model. You can deny it all you want to deny it. You can say whatever you want to say. It does not change the fact you're a role model. You could say, hey, I'm me. I ain't got no tie to the church. Whatever I say is what I want to say. It doesn't, no, you could say whatever you want. You bring judgment to the church. You sure do. Well, I don't come there because so-and-so said this. Well, that's a great reason not to serve God. So-and-so said something you didn't like. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you what that mindset is. How can I help you? How can I help you? How can I help you? How can I show you love? I want to offer you something. Living water. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He knew what he could do and still didn't do it. The very definition of grace is not punishing somebody that you have the ability to punish. I could throw you under the bus. I can make you look bad. I can tell people what you did. But I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't be wrong. You did do that. But I would be wrong because it's not the mindset of Christ. The mindset of Christ is, you and I can talk about it and see where we can do with it, but I can't, I'm not going to spread it around. Jesus said, do you not realize I could call angels to be at my side and get me out of this anytime I want to? What did he say? He could call 12 legions? Is that what it was? 12 legions? Which is more, he said, I can call more than 12 legions, which is an infinite number. And again, it's just, it's like when he said, how often do I forgive my brother? Seven times, the guy being smart. And he says, no, 7 times 7. He didn't mean 49 times. He meant there's an unlimited amount of forgiveness that you have that you need to give out. So when he says 12 legions, he's not talking about 72,000 angels. He's talking about I can get whatever it takes. I might not know how many it's going to take, but I got as many as I need. This is so important, verse 7. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I want you to understand what that means. It means he gave up his rights. you've been so programmed that you have rights. You don't have any rights in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a theocracy, not a democracy. We follow the king. We do what the king says to do. You never once heard Jesus line up the 12 disciples and say, by show of hands, how many want to go to Copernicus? He said, get in the boat. We got churches that somehow think they're supposed to vote on everything. But we didn't vote. We're supposed to vote. Vote on the color of a wall. Vote on everything. I've spent more years in meetings than I have never served Christ because I was in a meeting all the time. Oh, I've been in some meetings. So I said when WFM came time for WFM, I said, guess what? We're going to not have meetings. I don't think we've held more than 5 meetings our entire 13 years. What do we got to talk about? Seriously? How many chairs are in each aisle? Is that what you want to talk about? Is there more than enough? Let it go. Your responsibility is to carry out the vision God gave me, not to argue with me about it. I just heard of a church split over a school that they started. And the fighting that went on for a year and a half was devastating. And I talked to some people that survived that. Displaced, hurt, afraid to serve God, afraid to get involved in church again because it was so devastating. And I look back at when we started the youth center, and I had the vision for the youth center, and so many people came by my side and made that happen. Some people work hundreds of hours to make that happen with me. It was not a little project. It was huge. And we never had one vote. How many pool tables are we going to have? Are we going to have a ping pong table? Let's vote. There were no votes. God supplied everything we need because we weren't bickering and fighting and voting over what we should have. We're like, whatever God wants, let's go. Let's make this happen. That's what Jesus did. Whatever you want, God, we're going to do this thing. He could have. That's why we're not God, because we wouldn't have acted like that. You try to put a crown of thorns on me, you'd be laying dead somewhere about a block away. He said, I gave up my rights. I am God, and I gave up my rights. And Christians have to understand that in the kingdom of God, you have no rights. I often say this, follow me as I follow God. And the minute you don't think I'm following God, then run. Don't ever follow somebody you not think is following God. Don't do it. Give up your rights. This church has done a pretty good job of giving up their rights. Nobody's expecting to vote on anything. Isn't that beautiful? Now give up the last rights, the ones you're holding on to, that causes you not to live in unity with the brothers and sisters. Because you don't have that right either. You're here. You have one responsibility: to help others get closer to God. Not just my job. I don't care how slow they're moving. I don't care how fast they're moving. You holding your grudges, having your bitterness and your hatred, is not helping them get closer to God. You are failing at your job. How can they change if they don't see a change in you? We can do this. Prayer team, come up. Lord, we want to do this. Not a game. Not like the game that's going to be played tonight, where multimillionaires are going to be chasing a ball and people are going to be in the stands cheering and acting a fool. This ain't a game. This is for real. This is for our eternity, our life in eternity. This is for all the marbles. And we thank you, God, that this church will tell the truth regardless. Because we need truth. We need to know that we're standing on the word of God. We need to know that we're holding on for our life.